All right, well, I've got 2 o'clock. We're going to call the meeting to order, and if everybody could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Len, welcome back, and if you could do roll call.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back. Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton is absent. Trustee Holness is absent. Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Quietek?
Here. Perfect.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
Trustee Labai?
Here.
And do we have any public participation today?
No requests.
Great, thank you. We'll move on to the consent agenda. We are going to pull 3 items that I understand we have some conflicts on out of the consent agenda. And I'll do those first. So the agreement with the Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Statuary Fund, Trustee Lloyd has will refrain. And if I could get a motion for that one.
I moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And then Kelly's going to pull our refrain from the agreements with Salesforce, Inc., and the Linking Industry to Nursing Education Program grant with Halifax Health.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes. And then the remaining items on the consent agenda.
Motion approved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda passes.
Great.
So with that, Dr. Labasa, over to you.
Thank you. Thank you. And the item that Kelly had to recuse herself from was a very generous grant. We were able to get matching funds from Halifax, so thank you, Halifax. It was $1 million on Halifax Health and $900,000 from Advent, making our total $3.8 million now that we have available to help our nursing program. So a very great day to be a Falcon with that matching grant opportunity. So we thank our healthcare partners to address our nursing needs. So that's great. Been busy since our last meeting. We had another songwriters fundraising event in Plantation Bay and I can't remember the number, but Gary or Tim, the number we were able to raise?
We raised about $7,500.
$7,500. So.
We awarded the first Plantation Bay scholarship to a radiography student from Deltona.
Great.
Very, very grateful. Really needed the support. Caitlin Rudel is her name.
Great.
It was great. Thanks to Trustee.
Yep. So thank you. Yep. Thank you, Gary.
What I liked was Tim telling me yesterday that there was somebody in attendance that wants to meet with him and learn more about the college and hopefully become somebody that wants to donate to the college as well. So
yeah. It's all these events help that awareness. Speaking of, yesterday we hosted in the student center, the Lemron Student Center, they called it a school choice event for K through eighth grade. We had to have about 400 people in the building and bands playing, and it was I heard from Dean Goldis there, Dr. Goldis, that she had bumped into several parents who were Daytona State graduates going, this isn't the DBCC I remember. So it was great, and they hadn't been on campus in a long time, so it was great to do that. We hosted it for Volusia County Schools, and we try to do that whenever we can, is to host events to bring the community on campus, because we're pretty proud of what we have here and then what the college has evolved to, so it certainly helps with that. We were able to, despite the numerous hurricanes, we did pull off our Veteran Day event at the Landing here on this campus. It was well attended. We had a great Riverfront Esplanade grand opening, and if you haven't been to the park, I would highly recommend it. They did a tremendous job, and it's really nice to be a part of that. And And with that, we also kicked off, since the pandemic, we brought back our holiday dinner show. Another thing to maybe mark on your calendars of things to do, trustees, if you haven't been, it's a great night out. It's a dinner in the lobby area that's done by Mets, and entertainment while you're having dinner, and then you go into a show. So it was a really, really great event. And so, yeah, it's we kicked off the semester on Tuesday in enrollments. We're looking at even maybe slightly up. We're going to see how it shakes out with the ad drop. So that's a good thing. And also happy to report that the residence hall is, again, for spring semester, 100% occupied. So we had, you know, with there's always that little bit of melt between semesters. Some of it, I think we had 34 vacancies of the 252. Some of those were anticipated graduations, students that just graduated in December. And then some homesick, change of plans, you know, and but we were able to fill all those slots. So we're at 100% with the residence hall. So that's that part. We also have you have in front the legislative request brochure, and we have cards. We'll get you some more of these. Oh, you have a little stack. Okay, good. So these are for you to keep in your wallet. So, you know, when you bump into Representative Leak or Representative Renner, you can say, oh, here's a card. But they're handy for you to reference if you are out in the community talking about our requests. And we did review these earlier, but again, you know, it's, you know, our top priority is the Law Enforcement Emergency Services Center, and then the improvements for the pedestrian and vehicle safety and amphitheater up in Palm Coast, and then the modernization of our auto collision program at the ATC, and the database security protection and monitoring system. So these are our legislative priorities. I am heading to Tallahassee on Monday for a few days to begin to meet with our delegation as well as leadership to discuss these priorities. So it's just information only. We do have in here the agreement with Bethune-Cookman, but unfortunately the president was not able to be here for the signing. So we're going to try to organize a separate we'll try to do a signing event maybe next at next board meeting. If for some reason that doesn't work because of calendars, we're just going to set up a separate little signing photo op and try to get a press release to celebrate that agreement. And with that, that concludes my update.
Great. Thank you, Tim. Facility.
Good afternoon. Just one item for today. We, at the last meeting, you approved the contractor for our air handler replacement in building 6A and B in our DeLand campus. This month, we have now the contract and approval to move forward with that contract with Farron Contracting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon and Happy New Year. Good to see everyone. We're going to jump right into the financial report. Keep in mind, this is through the December 31st, 2022, exactly at the halfway mark through the fiscal year. So taking a look at our operating revenue budget versus actual, you can see we've now collected $21.4 million, or 78% of our student tuition and fees, $23.4 million, or 41% of our state revenues. You know, the state revenues lag a little bit during the first part of the year, mainly because of the lottery funds, which aren't released until the month of February. So the the 41% is a little light, but starting next month, we'll begin getting our lottery funds appropriated to us, and you'll see that pick up over the rest of the fiscal year. We've now collected $3.5 million, or 52% of our other revenues, and $2.5 million, or 100% of the board-approved transfers. So in total, we've now collected $50.8 million, or 54% of our operational budget of $93.5 million. Taking a look at the expense side, we've expended $30.6 million, or 44% of the personnel budget. We've obligated $14.9 million, or 73% of our current expense budget. Of that, $9.7 million is actual expenditures, and the remaining $5.2 million is encumbrances still tied to open purchase orders. We've obligated $1.5 million, right at 50% of our capital outlay budget. Of that, nearly $600,000 of actual expenditures, and the remaining $865,000 is encumbered. So in total, $47 million of our budget is now obligated through the mid-year point. And if you peel away the encumbrances, what it shows there at the bottom is that we've expended $40.9 million, or 44% of our operational budget. Okay, this slide's our snapshot of our carry-forward funds in our operating budget. We started the year with $18.3 million fund balance rollover. Of that, $5.1 million is the state required reserve, $2.4 million is the board designated reserves, unallocated reserves of $9.7 million, and we had encumbrances and rollover funds of $1.1 million. So through December 31st, we now have a projected fund balance of $15.9 million. All right, taking a look at our revenues, our actual budget versus actual year over year, you can see the comparison. This year we've collected 54% of our operational budget versus last year at this time was 53% of the budget. Very, very consistent income stream as we expect with our revenues coming in from the state and tuition and fees. So. Okay, this is our three-year analysis of tuition and fees. If you'll remember from last board report, the chart was skewed a bit going the other direction. It looked like 22-23 was below the prior year. And the explanation, of course, was the spring registration started at different times, a few days off between this year and last year. So I had mentioned that it would kind of correct itself this board report, and in a way, it's overcorrected itself. So and I have an explanation as well. So the $21.4 million compared to the $19.7 million is about a $1.7 million increase, or 8.6%. We know we're not up in an enrollment quite that high. We're up some. But the part of that increase is we're still recording some of our lost revenue as we're getting from the federal stimulus dollars, the HERF funds. And our lost revenue, that calculation it looks at the current tuition and fees and compares it to our baseline year, which was the pre-pandemic years of what we used was 18-19 fiscal year and 19-20, and averaged those two pre-pandemic years. And that's been our stationary baseline year where we make that calculation each semester and recuperate the lost revenue. So for fall semester, we did the calculation a little earlier this year, so it landed into the December board report that you're seeing here in these numbers. That amount was about $900,000, a little over, I think, for the fall compared to the baseline fall. So that, if you take the $900,000 away from the $1.7 million increase between this year and last year, we're really at about an $800,000 apples-to-apples comparison of fall to fall. Which is about 4%. Dr. Labasa just said, spring is about flat, and we landed this fall compared to last fall at about a 6.5% fee-paying students. So when you blend those rates, the 4% does make sense where we're at and what we're seeing in the numbers here. So, That was a mouthful. Did everybody kind of understand the explanation? If I need to go any further, I can. I'll pause for a minute.
So basically, we're a little bit up by about 100,000 versus 2021 then.
Going at
that age, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's correct.
We're
making progress. Yep, we're better than last year certainly, and getting back to slowly starting to climb back to those older levels.
So, Marty, on the financial statement, does the HERF money show up as tuition, or does it show up as a governmental grant?
We report it back to the where we're making it up, so it does actually kind of fall into the tuition line or other fees. And, if it's a fee decrease, like a capital improvement fee or anything like that, it would fall into those respective fees would get made whole again. And some of those live in different funds, not necessarily fund one. But yes, the bulk of it, that we saw this time around in fall, was tuition related. You can see out of state is actually was doing better than the baseline, so there was nothing to recuperate. And as you go down, I think all the others were solid as well. So this time around, it was strictly that top line that had the recovery.
We had in previous semesters and years, we were able to even claim loss of auxiliary revenue.
And we still can. If we have it, and that calculation we do at the end of the fiscal year, so that we're looking at a full year, and then we look at some history of those auxiliaries, and if they still are under, we're allowed to do that. Now, of course, we know that's winding down. The HERF money is good through June 30th, so we'll see it out this fiscal year, and then more or less be back on our own start of next fiscal year. Okay, moving ahead, this is our comparison of actual expenses, budget to actual year over year. You can see, again, fairly consistent, especially with personnel and current expenses, 44% in personnel versus 42% at this time last year. Current expenses, 73% utilized versus the same 73% last year. Capital outlays a little ahead of the game this year. That just means we're, utilizing the money at a bit of a faster pace, which isn't a bad thing. We like the capital outlay to get ordered and under purchase orders, so that's a good sign. Okay, moving on to our Fund 7 Capital Project Fund. This slide, we show each time it's our major funding sources in Fund 7 with all the details of expenditures and revenue received to date. The next slide is a recap of that very detailed slide. So we started the year with just about $50 million as a beginning fund balance, received about $6.8 million to date. We've expended or obligated $22.7 million, and of that, expended almost $14 million, and the other $8.7 million is encumbered. So that leaves us with a fund balance through December of about $34 million in Fund 7. Of that, we have $13.2 million committed, and the remaining $20.8 million is uncommitted and available for projects. Okay, you'll probably notice that this slide has grown a little bit since our last meeting. Primary reason is if you remember, we received about $13.4 million in critical deferred maintenance funds last year, this budget cycle through the American Rescue Plan, through the state, and then onto the colleges. That money has now been encumbered at the state level, and what that means to us is we're now authorized to move forward with procurement, entering into contracts and purchase orders, and really tapping into those funds for the projects that we laid out that make up that $13 million. So as we move forward through the rest of this fiscal year into next, you're going to see, more and more projects hitting that $100,000 threshold that we put on this report as we start to enter into those agreements and so forth. So the top kind of the cutoff was Hurricane Ian is the last one we had on the prior report. So the bottom four are new ones that were added this particular report. Hurricane Nicole repairs. We set up a general funding source for any damage incurred there, and then we'll seek reimbursement through insurance and FEMA. News Journal Center and building and the Health Science Hall roof replacements, those came to you at a prior board meeting for approval because they met certain thresholds. So they're now well underway, and we have them, hopefully it will be done next month. And then the other one is a Building 548 campus safety renovation, just met the threshold and scheduled to be done in March. Not all those, you know, necessarily are coming out of that $13.4 million, but I'm just letting you know that there's quite a bit on the horizon, and you'll probably see this list grow a bit in the future. So in total, we got 12 major projects in progress at this time, and that makes up about $33.3 million for a budget. And that concludes the report, unless we have any questions or comments. Okay, my next and final item are our payments over $50,000 that we show the board each month. This now covers November and December, as we didn't have a board meeting last time around. So again, we show this for informational purposes. It's any payment, regardless whether wire transfer, ACH, or actual check. Nothing unusual on the list. With that, that concludes my report.
Questions for Marty? Great, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Good afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well. Presenting to you the 2023, 2024, and 2024-2025 academic calendar for your approval. Falls in line with the previous year's structures, and we like to present 2 years because it'll really aid in planning for financial aid purposes, housing, and things of that nature.
A motion?
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Constituent heads.
Okay, thank you. So time for our constituent head reports. We're going to start off with Interim President Jose Lopez for SGA.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jose Lopez. I'm the interim president of the Student Government Association. And today, I will be covering some SGA updates. On the 7th, December 7th, 2022, the student government held the SC's first annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony and also acknowledged and celebrated holidays such as Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. I just turned black. There you go. Our next topic is the Student Government Association special elections, which will be held on January 20th, 2023, with the polls closing on the 7th of February. Here on the presentation is an illustration of the positions that are open on the SGA board. And our final topic is the February Leadership Conference, which will be held on February 21st, 2023, and February 22nd. SGA will be attending this year's Leadership Conference, and this is all of our SGA updates. If all of you have any questions, the Director of Student Life is over there on that corner. And this is all from SGA. It's very nice to meet you all, and thank you.
Thank you, Jose. Thank you. Jose's been pretty active with us over the years. He actually was one of our first summer RAs, if I'm not mistaken. He was an RA in the summertime for us. So thank you, Jose. For Administrative Counsel, Alicia Alexander.
Good afternoon, everyone. Do my best with this. I don't want to knock it down. but good afternoon, everyone. Happy New Year. 2023 is already exciting, and we're only like 18, 19 days in. Coming from the Admin Council, I don't have much for you all today. We have our first meeting of the year actually scheduled for February 22nd. So that'll be after the next February board meeting. But at that time, we will be having a special sort of like a professional development training refresher with the Office of Counseling and Accessibility Services. And so we know there's a lot of great information that our managers and supervisors and the council need to be knowledgeable of to help our staff and our students. And that's just one part of a three-part training series that we'll have throughout the rest of the year. So we have another one scheduled in April with the Office of Professional Development, and we have one in June scheduled with HR for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. So I'm excited and looking forward to giving you updates from there. Besides that, I know we haven't scheduled it yet, but I'm pretty confident we're going to have our spring greeting card signing, which has become very popular. So just be on the lookout for that. I think next time I'm just going to bring a box of cards here, and then you guys can, without distracting the meeting, if you're open to it, sign a few cards, and we deliver them to clients from the Council on Aging Meals on Wheels program. So it's really blown up, and we're excited that it's so popular and having such a big impact in the community. So besides that, I have nothing else. You guys have your time back, and thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
It just seems pretty calm, considering we're at the cusp of handing in our report. What's that due in March?
Yes.
March, yeah. That's our SACS reaffirmation, just a couple thousand-page document that we're working on, or so. Give or take a thousand or two. Thank you, Alicia. And for Career Employees Association, John Penny.
Good afternoon. I just have a couple items to share. At the open house, we were able to have a basket raffle. We had four beautiful baskets that went over quite well, and we made $419 at that event. We're very excited about that. And we have a meeting this Monday to start planning for the chili cook-off, bringing it back this February. So excited to see it come back around. That's all I have today.
Thank you.
That was a very popular event we had for many, many years. Glad to see it back. I'll make sure to share the dates with you if you want to test some chili. And Faculty Senate, Paul Capps. Oh, and a familiar face I haven't seen in a while. Dr. Thomas, how are you?
Good afternoon and Happy New Year. In my constant effort to avoid speaking to you, I have once again brought another faculty star to come and speak in my place. Dr. Haran Thomas is a professor with our College of Humanities and Communications. He is featured on a lot of our publications, our flyers. It's a good-looking man, so we got to put him out there. And he's also well-known he's been a faculty fellow. I'm going to let him highlight a few of his own accomplishments. But he's been a faculty fellow, and one of the things he sort of become somewhat famous for among the faculty are the videos he makes weekly for his online courses and even the hybrid courses, where, not only just updating the whole class on what's going on, but little shout-outs, hey, Tony, great paper this week, and things that I haven't seen any of the rest of us do. So, again, I'm going to turn it on over to Dr. Haran Thomas.
You guys do run a tight ship. Thanks, Paul, for that. And I'd better, I think, stick to strip so I don't run over. But thanks to Aaron, Arthur, and all the folks at the TV production studio. They were very largely helpful in me developing these videos. But good afternoon, everybody. I've been here since 2008. Evan Rivers hired me, and that was about the same year I also received my PhD from the University of Florida as well. And I hit a roadblock as soon as I got here. It was tough for me to adjust to the students here, because they will tell you what you need to hear, whether you want to hear it or not. And so I had to make some adjustments with the way I taught very quickly. They said, you can't do what you might have done elsewhere. And so within 2 years, I ended up getting a TRIO Award for excellence in teaching, just based on the adjustments that I made. And that award was really special to me, because students, they really, they're the ones who volunteer, or they nominate professors for that award. So I ended up getting that award. A few years later, I ended up getting a similar award. And 2021, 2022, I received the Faculty Senate Award for student advocacy. And I also received an award from Online Studies for Hybrid Instruction. So it was also great to get both of those awards, considering faculty nominated me for the first one. And then the second one, it was also, you know, a work in progress, a labor of love there as well, too. Paul asked me to speak to you all today, and I didn't hesitate to do that, because I really just wanted to thank you all for everything that you do to allow our students to do the things that I do with them. So whether it's me taking them to the University of Florida to tour the College of Journalism and Communications, or I'm taking them to Tampa, and they impress everybody wherever they go to, where a lot of students are like thumbing on their phones and going through things. Our students are asking really bright questions. Professors and students alike at the University of Florida said as much. So thank you all. I brought some magazines to share with board members, and I do have extras for those of you.
You talk on the mic, I'll share.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I do have some extras for those of you who would like our magazine, but thank you again so much for all that you do for our students and allowing me to give those students the opportunities that I give them. So thank you.
Haran failed to also mention that he got an MVP soccer award when we played in our little pickup soccer games few years back, just a year or two back.
MVP?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
But you remember blowing out my knee.
Yeah. But thank you, Haran.
Thank you.
And for our professional counsel, Billy Joe Dunaway.
Thank you. Our professional council, celebrated the end of last semester with some fun times. We're looking forward to this semester. We're going to do some financial health things in January, setting up goals and budgets for the year. We're going to have the credit union come in and talk to us a little bit. Always a good place to start our year. Setting up our meetings for the year, and pretty much that's all I have to say, and that's why I'm like, great, I get to follow Dr. Thomas. Okay. Thank you.
That concludes the constituent reports.
Great, thank you. Well, I'll start off by saying welcome back, Lynn. You can tell Lynn is back if you look at the time, because we're in record time and on time and organized. Glad to have you back. Just wanted to mention Trustee Freckleton, of course. We've all been thinking about him, and glad to hear he is doing well, and look forward to his return. Dr. Thomas, what a great example of, I love the way you said that you learned from the students, but you learned how to teach our students from them. And so you took the best of what they had to offer and used it to enrich the lives of a lot of others. And that's a great testament to the faculty here. And appreciate all you do. So, and then just, I always like to comment on the marketing email blasts that come out, because I find those very helpful just to tell me what's going on. And the one that caught my eye, I think it was this past month, was the fact that the college was named a National Center of Academic Excellence in Cyber Defense. And if you think of, hot industries right now, cyber defense would be you know, right at the top of the list for anybody that owns a company or banks online or for aviation and aerospace or, you know, any industry you name, cyber is hot. So it's great to see that we're active and working in that area. So again, just want to say thanks for everything all of you around the room do. You make our jobs easy. And thank you, Dr. Lovasso, for all your leadership. And with that, I will go around the room and we'll reverse order and start with Trustee Lubi today.
Well, thank you all very much. And number one, Happy New Year to everybody, albeit belated. Want to say that the Chamber had an opportunity to meet with Speaker Renner, as well as Senator Hudson, and along with other constituents within Flagler County back a few weeks ago. So I'm very proud to say, as the chair of the Palm Coast Flagler Regional Chamber, that they were promoting our priorities as well at that session as well, too. So hopefully that will help. I also want to say the joint agreement with Bethune-Cookman is that's exciting to see that happen, and really glad that we're going forward with that. And with that, I'll turn it over to my fellow trustee Lloyd.
So prayers to Trustee Freckleton on a speedy recovery. I'll just repeat that. We're thinking about him, and thank you, Tom, for keeping us up to date and informed on his situation, and look forward to having him back, and looking forward to a great 23.
Yeah, I'd echo everyone so far, especially keeping Lloyd in our prayers. Also, I just, I am constantly impressed with the work, of course, the substantive work, but you also all make it everything look good. So even these legislative requests this beautiful magazine, I remain impressed by the work that everyone around the room does, the content, and then also just the branding. It's just really well done. It makes me feel very honored to be here and just real excited about the college in 2023. So happy new year.
It's good to be back together. It's always good to be a part of a great organization. I gain far more, I'm sure, than I give. So I appreciate that. Also, I would just call out, we had the opportunity to use our company had the opportunity to use the conference center last weekend, I guess. And it was a perfect team building event. If you're not familiar, haven't thought about it, put it on the front. I'm not sure I'm trying to get you more work, but it was terrific. Your team and Mets did a remarkable job. Our people walked away with exactly what I hoped to accomplish. And so thank you for the opportunity. And I would suggest anybody try to do that. Well worth the price that we paid, for sure. Thank you.
And go...
Go Falcons. We got to start the year right. Go Falcons. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So. If any of you are interested, we are in basketball season. Both teams are doing really well. Our men's basketball team actually started the season, I think, 11-0 or 12-0. Had a little bump, but they're back on track. I think 5 conference wins. They're 5-0 in the conference. And they were on an ESPN Plus game. The men's were against Tallahassee over the break. So if any of you are interested in coming out to a game for the men or the women, they're exciting to watch. The women last night won, as well as the men. So Lynn can get your schedule if you want to come out and catch a game.
Great. Thank you, Tom. And with that, we will adjourn. Thank you.
Wow. Welcome back, Lynn.
Yeah. Good to have her back.
Awesome.
I knew what was going to happen if I didn't get back at it.
There you go.